Why don't you take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, open them up to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verses 8 through 13 for our scripture reading tonight. You know, the world honors all sorts of spirits today, bad spirits, evil spirits. And so I thought tonight it would be good for us to talk about the Holy Spirit and how we need to claim his power. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. When Jesus was on earth, he was all God and all man. And yet he made a choice when he came to live on this earth that he was going to be a man. Now, the miracles that he did, the healing the sick, raising the dead, making the blind to see, making the deaf to hear, he could have done those miracles as God. God certainly has that power to heal people. God certainly has the power to raise the dead. And he was God. But I believe, based on these scriptures and others as I study, that Jesus made a choice to lay aside his Godhead and to live on this earth as a man filled with the Holy Spirit of God. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it says this, "And Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost," and it was talking there about him being led into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan. And again, when he was tempted of Satan, he resisted Satan not as God. I mean, as God, he had the power to banish Satan. I mean, he kicked him out of heaven. And on earth, he could have easily kicked him off the earth. But he made a choice to lay aside his godliness. Not his godliness, but the fact that he was God. He laid that aside and said, "No, I'm a man. I'm going to be a man. I'm going to live my life on this earth. I'm going to in that chapter 4 of Luke, resist Satan with the help of the Holy Spirit." So his whole ministry, all the miracles that he did as a spirit-filled man. Now, why? Just let me tell you why. So that he could be an example to us. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, he said, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps." Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12, and listen to this verse. Sometimes we read these verses like this and we just skip over them. We don't pay attention to what they're saying. Jesus said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." He said, "I'm going unto my Father so that the Spirit can come. And the works that I've done, you're going to do greater works." Now, if he did the works that he did while here on earth as God, we have no chance of following his example. I mean, if he resisted Satan, if he did the other things that he did as God, we're not God. And so we can't follow, we could not do the works that he did. But he said, "I did not do these works as God. I did them as a man filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I am your example, and the works that I have done, you will do. In fact, you will do greater works than I have done, because I've gone back to the Father, and I'm sending the Spirit." So let me just give you an example. Let's say on Sunday morning, I got up and I was just getting ready to preach.
and Jesus walks in the door. And I would say, don't sit down, come and preach. Jesus would preach from the same Bible. I believe he would preach from the same Bible. I hit that pretty hard on Sunday night, so I won't repeat myself. I believe he would preach from the same Bible. He would preach the same gospel. He would preach that men are sinners and that sin, there's a penalty for sin, and that penalty is separation from God. He would preach himself as the only hope for heaven. And when people walked the aisle and got saved under his preaching, they're as saved as people that walked the aisle the last few weeks and got saved as I was preaching. Because if Jesus, if when he was here on earth, he did not preach as God. He preached and he taught as a spirit-filled man. That means the same kind of truth that he imparted to people and the same truth that impacted their lives is the same thing that can happen when Brother Leonard gets up and teaches. Now, Jesus didn't use some of the words that Brother Leonard uses, but here's my point. Brother Leonard can have the same impact as he teaches that Jesus did because he's teaching with the same spirit. I can have the same impact that Jesus did, not because I'm God, but I can be filled with the same spirit that Jesus was. And every single one of us can have the same power that Jesus did if we claim the same spirit. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, one of the verses that we read, it says, "But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead." Okay, now stop and think with me for a minute. When Jesus came out of the grave, 3 days, 3 nights in the tomb, when he arose from the dead, he did not arise from the dead as God. Huh? He was God, but he had laid that apart. This verse says that he was raised from the dead by the Spirit that raised him up. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. A lot of people read that verse and say, well, that's what's going to happen. If my body dies and I go into the grave, and to be absent from the body, as Brother Bill testified a moment ago, is to be present with the Lord. If that happens to me and I come back when Jesus comes, it is the Spirit that will raise my dead body from the earth to be joined with my soul that's and spirit that's coming back from heaven. But I think this verse also teaches a little bit more than that. I think this verse teaches that we can have life now by being quickened or made alive by the Holy Spirit of God. And here's what I mean by that. We suffer defeat at the hands of Satan. And parts of us are not what they should be because we don't claim the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we claim the power of the Holy Spirit, those parts of us that are in Satan's grasp can be made free. Paul talked about it in Romans chapter 7. He said this, For the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. He says, I know what's right. I know what to do that's right, but I don't do it. And I know what not to do because it's wrong, but that's what I do. Now, I think Paul is representative of all of us. And I'll just speak for myself, but I think it will apply to every single person here. There are things that I know to do that are right that I don't do. Okay? There are things I know that are wrong. And again, maybe not sin, but weights, as it talks about in Hebrews. Things that I know that are not pleasing to God, things that I do that would be better if I didn't do them, that I do. And I know what not to do, and I know what to do, but I don't do it. And Paul said, that's the same. He said, that's what I do. He said, I do the things I know I shouldn't do. I don't do the things I know I should do. And yet Paul, at the end of his life, said, hey, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the faith. I've run the course that God wants me to run. You know why? Because he claimed the power of the Holy Spirit. And even though he could not do what he knew to do was right because of this battle that was going on inside of him, that goes all on inside of us, that battle between the flesh and the spirit, that battle between the old man and the new man, that battle that, and you know, some people have pictured it with a little angel sitting on this shoulder and a little devil sitting it on this shoulder, and they're both whispering in our ears. And that may not be so far off. I mean, I don't think there's, you know, a little thing set on our shoulder. But there is the when you got saved, you became a new creature. And the Holy Spirit moved in. Moved into every single person. Every single person, when they received Christ as their Savior, got the Holy Spirit. You did not lose that old man. You did not, you were not separated from the flesh yet. And so there is a battle that is going on inside of each one of us between evil and good. Between Satan and God, if you want to say it that way. Who wins? The ones you side with. The one you decide to join forces with. If you listen to the old man, if you listen to the flesh, you're going to do things you know you shouldn't do, and you're not going to do things that you should do. If you listen to the Holy Spirit, if you listen to the new man, you are going to do the things that you should, and you're not going to do the things that you shouldn't. And so tonight, I just want to give you a few examples of how the Holy Spirit can help us do things that we cannot do left in the flesh, that we cannot do without his help. Now, I'm going to start with myself. Some of you know, because you've been around for a while and you've seen it. Adam and Chantel have seen it. I have a temper. I've had it since I was a kid. I've told you stories before. When I was your age and I go play baseball, if I started to lose, I'd take my baseball and go home. Our bedroom was upstairs in the attic. And we had these eaves that my dad had closed in. It had a little door. They only opened from the outside. I'd get so mad, I'd go in those eaves, Terry, and lock the door behind me. And I couldn't get out until somebody came and let me out. And in the summer, it got hot up there. But I had a temper. I'll be honest with you. I still have a temper. Now, hopefully, most of you haven't seen that temper in action. I'll be honest with you, left to myself, I could not control my temper. I mean, I know some of you may find this hard to believe, but I mean, I won't go any further. But it's when I say to the Holy Spirit, I know it does not please Christ for me to lose my temper. I know left to my devices, if I live in the flesh, if I listen to the old man, I'm going to lose my temper. I mean, I was flying back from Jacksonville last night. I'm sitting in seat B, and there's a guy sitting in seat A. Seat A is by the window, seat B is by the aisle. So the plane lands in Flint about 11:30 last night. It was late, and I know everybody was tired. So I stand up. I start getting my suitcases out from overhead. He says, and you know, he's sitting over here by the window. Now, common courtesy tells you if you're sitting by the window, you wait till the aisle clears before you push your way out in the aisle. And so he gets up, and he's about Herb's size, a little bit less than Herb, but Herb's build. And so he just sort of barrels his way into the aisle. He did say, excuse me, but I just wanted to hit him. I said, Can't you just wait? I mean, you're not going to get out any quicker by getting out in the aisle. There's not room for it. And I wanted to say that. I just wanted to slap him. But he was bigger than I, so I got some sense. And so, you know, I let him go. And But I'll just tell you. I had to fight with myself. Say, Holy Spirit, you got to help me. I'm gonna lose. And he saw me reading my Bible because I was reading my Bible. Come back. Wouldn't that have been a good testimony? Here's a guy reading his Bible, then he slaps me because I get out in the aisle. But even as the Holy Spirit helped me control it, I made sure when he was walking out of the terminal, I walked faster than he did so I could beat him out the door. Now, that was just temper trying to come out. I mean, so what I'm saying tonight, I still have that struggle. I've been saved for a long time. I've been saved for 41 years. And I still have that battle going on inside of me that if I don't say, Holy Spirit, I got to have your help, I would do things that I know not to do, or I would not do things that I know to do. So the Holy Spirit, if we'll claim his power, will quicken us in our bodies, will quicken us so that we can do things that we should do. Another one is this thing called depression. I was talking to a guy in our church last week, and he's very depressed, very depressed. Now, if you look at his situation, you would say, well, you know, what does he have to be depressed about? And I won't go into any details because I don't want you to figure out who it is, but he's depressed. When I talked to him, I said, look, I could be depressed. Preachers get depressed on Monday morning. You've heard about Monday morning quarterbacks. There are Monday morning preachers. You know what we do? We go back and re-preach our sermons. Right, Adam? We re-preach our sermons. We said, boy, I should have said this. I shouldn't have said that. I should have said this, and I should have said this. And whereas quarterbacks only have one game to think about, we got a Sunday morning sermon and a Sunday night sermon to think about. And if I would let myself on Monday, and I think that's why they have preachers' luncheons on Monday. The association does. I've never gone to one, but they all get together and they go out for lunch, and I think they sort of try to encourage each other. But I don't get depressed because after I sort of feel sorry and look at all my mistakes that I made on Sunday, I said, just like I was telling somebody tonight, I can't undo it. I mean, I did what I did. I said what I said. I slaughtered the King's English like I slaughtered the King's English and you know, was disjointed at times. But I can't undo it. I just got to depend on God to use it. And so I can't go back and undo the past. I can't, I've quoted that verse in Philippians to so many people of late, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I can't go change what happened yesterday, but I can change what happens tomorrow if I let the Holy Spirit help me. And he will give me and give you what we need to do what we need to do tomorrow, to not do what we don't need to do tomorrow. And so, look, the same Spirit that went into that cemetery where Jesus was buried, went into the tomb and raised him up from the dead. Now just think about that. Raised him up from the dead. The same Spirit that helped him resist Satan. The same Spirit that helped him do all the miracles that he did while on this earth is the same Spirit that we have and will help us do what we need to do. I talk to people all the time. They got habits they'd like to kick. They do things. Some of it might be smoking. Some of it might be eating. Some of it might be reading the wrong things or watching the wrong things. And I've talked to folks and they say, well, this thing's got a hold of me. I mean, you just can't get rid of it. I mean, it's got a hold of me. And I said, well, you're right. You can't get rid of it by yourself. But you know what? I believe if the Holy Spirit rose Jesus from the dead, if the Holy Spirit helped him resist Satan in the wilderness, that the Holy Spirit probably has enough power to help us get rid of the addictions that we may have in our life. Don't you think? Huh? I think he does. I think he has that power if we would claim it. And when we say, well, I got this habit and I just can't quit, the truth is you don't want to quit. Yeah, and I'll preach to myself. If you really wanted to give up Butterfingers and get your cholesterol lower and lose weight, you could do it. Truth is, I don't want to do it. I'll just be honest with you tonight. I don't want to do it. That's right. I mean, when I go home tonight, Lois gave me a pack of 48 Butterfingers. And I've been eating on them for a month now. And I try to limit myself to one a day, except those days that I eat two. I could give that up. My cholesterol would go down. I could lose weight. I would feel better. But I don't want to. Now, and I'll just look around the room. I won't mention any of the addictions that you have. But you could, if I and you claim the power of the Holy Spirit, we could probably give them up. Ice cream? You don't want to give it up, though, do you, Brother Duane? You know it's not good for you. And we don't want to give it up. Now, again, you know, we're making light of it, but there are things in each of our lives that we know we'd be better without. And yet, we keep them because the truth is we don't want to give them up. And probably on our own, in the flesh, with the old man, we couldn't give them up. But the Spirit of God has enough power to help us give them up. Couple more. I was talking to somebody at work last week, young guy, been married 4 years. He says, my wife and I are having trouble. I said, what's the matter? She says, I do not understand her. And I said to him, well, if you ever do, could you come and tell me? He said, one day last week, she told me that she loved me. And I felt so good. 10 minutes later, she said she hated me. And I said, you know what? The strange thing is, she probably meant it both times. Oh, and I told him, I said, you haven't gotten to this point yet, but at some point you'll get old enough where you'll say, honey, I love you, and if it ever changes, I'll tell you. And then you won't mention it again. I said, you're headed that way. His name is Ryan. And I said, Ryan, I said, look, and they're both, he and his wife are both Christians. I said, Ryan, you know, the Spirit of God knows more about being a husband than you'll ever know. And his wife's name is Jenny. And I said, you can tell Jenny for me, because I know both of them. I said, you can tell Jenny that the Spirit of God knows more about being a wife than she'll ever know. So let me give you the secret for how to get along. Live in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Brother Duane and Jean, well, let's see, next week, right? Next Saturday. How many will it be? 62. Now, you know, you look at Duane and Jean when they come to church, you say, what a loving couple. I've shared the testimony that, you know, every week, some flowers. And you say, what a sweet couple. I bet they never argued one time in their life. But I know better. Because I can remember that story that they told me about Gene making up pie and it getting under Duane's teeth, and he took his teeth out and threw them across the floor. He was so mad. So you guys better never tell me nothing, because it'll work its way as a sermon illustration sooner or later. But you know how a marriage lasts? You okay, Bill? But you know how a marriage lasts for 62 years? Because they both listen to the Spirit of God. That's how. Now, I got some other examples, but I got to quit. Okay, so I said earlier, every single person, when they get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. You get all of them, you're going to get. Every bit of them you're going to get. Now, the question is, how much of yourself do you give him? I mean, that is the question. When Jesus was here on earth, I believe that he was 100% filled with the Spirit of God. There was not one area of his life that was closed to the Spirit of God. He was Spirit-filled. He was Spirit-controlled. And again, serving as our example, I think one of the reasons he spent so much time in prayer was yielding himself to the Spirit of God. He was all man. He was tempted in all points like as we. He had the same struggles that we had. He knew no sin. He didn't have an earthly father, so he didn't have the sin nature. But as our example, he had to yield himself to the Spirit of God. We got to do the same thing. When we get saved, we get the Holy Spirit. We get all of them we're going to get. He just doesn't move in and kick out everything else that's in our life. He only moves into those parts of our life that we let him, that we invite him to come in. He never forces his way in. And when that verse in Ephesians says, be filled with the Spirit, it's that word filled is a linear type of a word. It means continue to be filled, continue to yield to the Holy Spirit. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that allowed him to do everything he did on earth, is the same Spirit that we have. And again, just stop and think about it. Just stop and think about it. We desire to be good husbands. Ladies, you desire to be a good wife. We have the same testimony that Paul did. I know what to do. But the things I know to do, I don't do. And I know I know what not to do. And I'm laughing because I'm thinking of a couple examples. I know what not to do. You know, there are some men that know what irritates their wife and they just do it anyway. Now, I know none of the men in this room that they would be guilty of this. So they know what not to do, but they do it anyway. Brother Dwayne, stay out of my preaching. Now, I'm almost done. I got to quit. But listen, you want to be a good husband? Then you just yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and say, fill me. Fill me. You want to be a good wife? You do the same thing. Fill me. And the Holy Spirit will fill up every part of you that you'll let him. And he'll help us do the things we know are right and help us not to do the things we know we shouldn't do. All right, got to quit. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed. Thank you for being here tonight.